1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and we have some monster-breaking political news this morning.
That's the great thing about live radio.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. And I just got off the phone with Caddo Parish Commission President Stormy Gage Watts, who has officially confirmed she's running for mayor of Shreveport.
She just told us she's excited to start walking the streets of Shreveport, talking to the residents, and wants to build a better Shreveport.
Build a better Shreveport were her words, and she and I, we're going to talk about getting her to come in here and sit for an hour and answer your questions. Scott Hughes, political analyst, how big a shock is this to you this morning?
I think it's a pretty big shock. Like I say, when you texted me a few moments ago, I told you I'd not even heard the news. I mean, not only is it me cold, it's a person I wouldn't have picked to get in the mayor's race.
We were all thinking Senator Sam Jenkins would be the Democrat, the flank on the Democrat side, and that we'd been hearing Stormy Gage Watts was going to run for city council for James Green's seat. She's aiming much bigger, huh?
Well, I think she's aiming for the sky. Let's start with she said she's running. We'll see who files next year. And you hit the key I would go to. Again, this is cold. We're just hearing this. But she's never served at the city level. She has been on the commission. And my memory is she won a special election, I think, back in 2015 when Stephanie Lynch gave up the seat to be elected to the city council. And so Stormy ran in a special election, and Aaron and Mike, I'd have to go double check the records, but my memory is that's the only time she's ever faced a voter. She ran in a very small district, less than 10% turnout, less than 1,000 total votes to win that special election.
Wasn't she appointed to the seat first?
She was appointed, yes. She was appointed, and then in March of 15, they had a special election to fulfill the balance of the term, which she won. And then my memory is the next three times, that would have been like 15, 19, and 23 when they run that race, concurrent with the governor's races and the state races, is when that cycle sets up. She ran unopposed. So she's only, from my perspective, she's only tested the ballot box one time in a very targeted special election for Caddo Commission. And now you're stepping out running in the big race. You know, technically there's a bigger race as if you go sheriff or parish-wide. But this is probably the biggest race in Caddo Parish. It's way different dynamics than the commission. And she is president of the commission. She was elected by her counterparts. She's serving as president of the Caddo Commission. But the Caddo Commission is not one of the most well-respected organizations right now in politics. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of problems with voters. I mean, let me rephrase that. They run their business okay. No one's accusing them of any kind of great, you know, money missing or anything. But from a political standpoint, it's been a very politically challenging organization with half fighting the other half, AG opinions, all kinds of things going on. And they don't deal with the things the city deals with. Shreveport voters had a long history of always electing someone that had already shown them that they could serve on the council level and then move up. And then they stepped aside with Adrian Perkins and Ollie Tyler. Those were two mayors back to back that had never served on the council. And then they ran back to Tom as the and others who in that race would have served on the council as well. So I think that's her biggest challenge, is trying to show voters, if she's going to run, that A, she's electable, because she's never really tested the ballot box from an electability standpoint, in my opinion, and B, does she understand and is she capable of running the third largest city in Louisiana?
Scott, does this change the possibility of Sam Jenkins now running?
I do find it interesting. I mean, Sam has never commented. I mean, Aaron made a comment there, and
right.
I enjoyed hearing that comment. Most of us, you know, watchers want to put Sam in that race. We think Sam is a perfect puzzle piece to pop in there. He may not be happy in the Senate because he's on the minority side down in Baton Rouge and can sit down there for, be honest, 8 more years, 10 more years. And he'd be a perfect. He served on the council. He served on the commission. He served in the House and the Senate. He knows everybody. And so I don't know what Sam does. I think Senator Jenkins needs to make that determination. I don't think it really changes the dynamics a lot. I think most of us prefer a head-to-head, one up, let's get one candidate on each side and do this. But we do have primaries. We do, and these will be open primaries. That closed primary system is only for federal elections and maybe some state elections, specific ones, but this would still be the open primary. But we still going to have a race probably with five or six people in it. She would just be considered, be honest, a major candidate because she is an elected official coming from the president of the commission. She serves in her fourth term officially. We'll wait and see. Can she raise money? Does she have a voter base? She's never moved outside of, I think she's District 7 on the commission.
Well, Scott, what are her downsides? What are the things that Arsenault will attack her on?
Well, I think one of her downsides is going to be management. I mean, and so she's been on the commission for a number of years. You always would start with, what are her achievements? Has she just sat there now for 12, 13 years? What has she achieved? Number two, does she understand the complexities of a municipality? The parish is one thing. Yes, you're dealing with courts and judges and mosquitoes and animal shelters and the things they deal with. The city is way different. It's one of the largest employers in town. It has fire. It has police. It has a lot of entities that she's never dealt with as a politically elected official. Secondly, is she a manager? How would she manage? To be honest, I do not know what she even does in her, quote, day job. I only know her as an elected official.
She owns a business. She owns a pretty lucrative business, yeah.
And Scott, this is where we're going to have to learn.
Scott, we're talking with Scott Hughes, Report political analyst. We know this huge flap about honoring Bernie Sanders, that a lot of people didn't like that. Do you think that's something that'll come back and be used against her?
Well, and that's, Mike, where I mentioned that coming from the commission could be a challenge, because the commission the last several years has really only, to be honest, if you go back 10 years, and she's been on the commission for a while, the commission used to be known for being very well run. I mean, they take care of their money. They have lots of resources. They were very quiet. Over the last probably 4 or 5 years, the commission has really only been in the news for kind of political stuff.
We didn't have commissioners ordering their clerk to create resolutions on.
And so that I think is one of her challenges. When you're running as a commissioner, and it wouldn't matter if you were a Republican or Democrat commissioner running for this. If you're coming from the commission to run for this city, I think you're going to bring all that baggage with you. Now, whatever your personal enrollment was, involvement was, you're going to have that as well. I think the biggest challenge is you're stepping outside of a very limited district, 7, and you're now going to try to reach out to the entire community, both crossing political and racial lines in the city of Shreveport, Caddo Parish, and also municipality versus parish. So you've really got to, she's going to walk the streets. That's a good idea. People need to meet her. But it creates a challenge, because I really think she's going to struggle to reach out to half the city. The other party, that Deep South Shreveport, some of the white community, don't really know her that well. She needs to introduce herself. But so she's really, I think, in this first round going to be trying to challenge what would be within her party, within her voter base. And she may be better known in that base, but that's where it's now going to be entirely dependent on who else gets in this race.
Scott, we got to take a quick break. Can you hold with us through the break?
Yeah, nothing like holding on a story we know nothing on, but happy to talk about it.
All right.
that's why you get the big bucks. Scott Hughes, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner President Stormy Gage Watts announced her candidacy for Shreveport Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And political analyst Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline.
I have my Target rule, Scott, that if I go stand outside Target or Walmart and ask 100 people who Stormy Gage Watts is, 90 people wouldn't have a clue. We're in the forest. You can't see the forest for the trees. How big a hurdle is that for her, that people don't know who she is?
I think, as we were saying before the break, that's her biggest challenge. She was appointed to the position, then she ran in a special election, and then she's run 3 times unopposed. So I do think she's probably one of the lower profile elected officials in terms of awareness. If she's going to run, which she is making the smart move. She does need to get out early. She's going to have to put a lot of effort into people meeting her, because I really think that there's basically half of Shreveport that has no idea who she is. And then in the other half of Shreveport, she's going to be very limited because she's only conserved the constituents of Caddo District 7, which was the old Steffi Lynch seat. It's part of Inner City Shreveport. I don't think she's even known within the Democratic. She's probably very well known in the Democratic
Party. I think you're being generous when you say half of Shreveport don't know who she is.
Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's half of Shreveport, Mike, that has no idea who she is. She's going to probably be a 0 to 5% awareness in that demographic of Shreveport. With the Democratic side of Shreveport, she's going to be well known. People are going to know the name. She's been around now for a long time. If you look at her political record,
how does she raise the money she's going to need? She's going to need a lot of money to unseat an incumbent mayor.
I think that's going to be the challenge. I don't know that she's ever had to raise the hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, you may have to raise for a competitive mayor of Shreveport race. But again, getting out early is the wise thing. And again, no one's filed yet. Let's be clear. She's announced she's running. People do that sometimes. They test the water. We'll see what happens. The real question is going to be the rest of the field. If she's the only Democratic candidate, the only African-American candidate in the race, well, then I like her chances to make the finals. Let's just be honest. I evaluate electability. If she gets in a crowded field, well, then she's going to have to first differentiate herself from that field within her own party, within her own voter base. And before she gets the chance to cross over and perhaps run against the incumbent mayor, Tom Arsenault, let's be fair. Incumbent mayors, whether they are white, black, Republican, Democrat, they are hard to beat. Incumbents are hard to beat.
Well, that leads to my next question. Scott, in a one-on-one, how does she fare with Tom Arsenault? How do you see that coming out?
I think in a one-on-one, Tom Arsenault would beat her. I think Tom has done a good job as mayor. He's going to be well financed. He is the incumbent, and I don't see Miss Gage Watts having this big base right now. Of course, we're a year out from the race. Anything can happen. But I think Tom would love to have that election in a one-up. I think the reason many were looking at a Sam Jenkins, not to put the senator in the race, he hasn't said anything, is I think that becomes an interesting head-up race. I think that's someone that could cross over into the Republican Party, into the white community, that is a long-tested managerial electability political side. I think head-up, I don't really see it being much of a race with Tom against Miss the candidate.
Okay, let's go inside the Democratic Party locally. You're connected to a lot of those folks. Do you think there's been some behind-the-scenes dealings to say, she's our candidate? We're going to all get behind her. We're not going to put other people in this race. She's going to be our Democratic candidate. Do you think that's been happening?
I don't think that's probably happened. I'll say this, because, for the record, I am a registered Republican. I think most people know that. I do have friends in all the parties. But I don't think any party, I don't think the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the green, yellow, purple, whatever party, I don't think any party has the mechanism people think that it has, that they get together and say, this is our candidate. Matter of fact, in this one, being a Democrat, I don't think the Democrats have met and made any decision that she's their candidate. This sounds like she has decided there's an opportunity. She wants to get out. And again, I will give her credit, Mike. If she's going to do this, she is making the right decision. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the people that move first can start to get funding. They can start to put people on the hot seat. And just like us, we're breaking news. We're taking two segments to talk about somebody most of our listener base had not heard of in 10 years.
One more thing. We're hearing
outside of the commission's issues.
We're hearing that there could also be a far right candidate that some of the Republicans are not happy with Arsenault. If we have a far right wing candidate in this race, does that shake things up considerably?
That could actually be more of a challenge to Tom than the candidate like Stormy. Yes, there's always been rumblings that Tom is not far enough right. But I think what you have is, and let's go to that side of the equation now. What you have there is a traditional argument right now within the Republican Party. You have people that believe Tom should be more conservative. You have people that want to go the other way. But then you get to the electability. I think one attraction of Tom is, he is electable. He had served on the council before. He is a more moderate person. As an attorney, he has some skill sets in negotiation. And Tom has never minced words. He knows he has to work with the council that you get when you get elected. He knows he has to represent all his report. So I think Tom has moderated a little bit and tried to do the best that he can from that side. Now, in a primary system, and we're not closed primaries for mayor, but we effectively are in Shreveport. If we have a couple of R's running and a couple of D's running, you kind of get by de facto a primary system. Mm-hmm. So Tom's best chance to get reelected is to be the only R in the ballot, to move to that final ballot, and then he can appeal to crossover voters in the Democratic Party and the black part of Shreveport.
Scott, in the last 30 seconds.
But against conservatives, he could be beaten the first round.
In the last 30 seconds, do you think Republican power holders would hold off on anybody else to give Tom another term?
I don't think you'll see what I would call a significant challenger to Tom from the Republican side. Remember, Tom had challengers last time. We had people run. You always get, we kind of call them the fringe candidates because anyone's allowed to file. And there's always two or three of those. And Tom had several last time with R's next to their name. They weren't a threat to him. This would take someone who has money, who has name recognition. If that person doesn't run, I like Tom's chances to get through the finals. I think what we're really looking at is what is the Democratic, quote, primary going to be?
Yeah.
And who is Tom's opponent going to be? Stormy's apparently thrown her hat in that. And now we'll watch to see who else throws their hat in that ring.
Scott Hughes, Shreveport political analyst. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate you weighing in this morning.
Sure. Call me in the hour if somebody else gets in the race.
Well, Chris Crackman just sent me a joke. All right, I'll run for mayor.
Chris doesn't live in the district.
Yeah, no, I texted me. I said, we'll trade houses.
Thanks, Scott. 101.7 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, more politics. I spoke yesterday with not only Stormy Gage Watts, just briefly, I spoke with Senator Sam Jenkins and former Senator Greg Tarver. We'll share those convos, what we can with you, when we get back right here, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
So while I'm lounging by the pool all day,
phone
drinking pina coladas, and everybody believes that you're working.
Well, my phone just went crazy yesterday, and I feel sorry because I'm on a call with my brother, and we were having a deep-rooted conversation about some stuff, and all of a sudden I was like, I gotta take this call, and it was Senator Sam Jenkins, and he and I had been playing phone tag for a little while, and I thought, well, he and I really need to talk now after this announcement yesterday with Stormy Gage Watts, the Caddo Parish Commissioner, announcing she's running for mayor. Everybody has said Sam Jenkins is thinking about it.
Right. And that was my question yesterday. Mm-hmm. Does this affect his decision on whether or not he's going to run?
And everyone says he'd be the leading Democratic contender. No doubt, hands down. Doesn't have any skeletons in his closet that we know of. If he does, I'll find them.
The closet.
But so I asked him directly, are you running for mayor? And he said, well, I haven't made my mind up. I said, you're considering it. He said, yes, I'm absolutely considering it. I said, well, when would you make...
Well, that's more than we've even heard.
Yes. When would you have to make your decision was my other question. And he said, well, I really don't want to comment about that. So he didn't want to give me a timetable.
Right.
He said, he's looking at it. He is considering it. And I said, okay, here's what I would like to ask you. Have you had a conversation with Stormy Gage Watts about if she runs, you won't run, or if, you know, the both of you run? He said, no, I have not. I have not had a conversation with her about her plans to run. She didn't reach out to him, apparently. You would think you would if you're going to run against somebody who's considered the Democratic front runner. Hey, I'm just giving you a heads up. Earlier in the day, I don't know if you heard part of my conversation with former Senator Greg Tarver, but I spoke to him about,
I did not.
Because somebody mentioned to me that he's actually thinking about it again.
You did say that yesterday, and I was just like,
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't like to hear what other people say. I call the source, I say, I'm hearing that. Of course, he wants to know who you're hearing it from. I'm like, I'm not telling you that. Are you thinking about it? And he said, well, yeah. He said, I'm thinking about it.
See, that surprises me.
That does. It surprised me, too.
That surprises me.
And I said, well, what will determine your decision? He said, well, that's going to be up to my wife. His wife will make that decision. Now, he called me later. I'm on my drive home. And this is I'm quoting Senator Greg Tarver. I'm not saying this is true. I got to do some research. He said, Stormy Gage Watts doesn't live in the city of Shreveport. And I said, well, I know a senator who ran for mayor who didn't live in the city of Shreveport.
Has to sleep in a coffin in his business.
And he said, no. I also had another home. He apparently purchased another home on South Lake Shore Drive. So he knows rules. I mean, he knows what sure. you can and can't do.
And when I heard that, my first question was, okay, do you have to have residence established for a certain amount of time? Do you have to have lived in the city for a year? No,
you have to have, as of qualifying day, you have to have a resident in the city. Whether it has to be your homestead exemption or it has to be your domicile, the wording is all jumbled up, and people working on it.
We'll ask the mayor that when he comes in next hour.
I'm sure he knows the rules.
That's right.
He's a lawyer.
And I know he lives smack dab in the middle of the city.
Yes, he absolutely does.
I drive by his house all the time.
You throw trash in his yard, don't you?
I throw my Subway cup over as I'm leaving.
You know. Ask the mayor if you've got a question for him. Today's the day.
It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment coming up at 7. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
I saw sometimes these reels pop up on like Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, the caption was, this is why I wish I was rich. And it's a guy, and he's at, I don't, looks like a Walmart. And there's like old people, and they're checking out, and they're digging in their purse. And while they're digging in their purse, he leans over with his card and hits the scan card.
Oh, with his credit card.
And pays for their groceries.
Oh, yeah. See, I would so do that.
And I love that. And it just happens to be somebody happens to be.
You want a spontaneous, the mayor's in the studio, yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's got somebody there filming it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it's still cool.
I know.
It's still cool. And I'm thinking, as I drove in this morning and I saw the sign, $85 million.
Yes,
dollars.
Unbelievable.
I would set my kids up and my mom, obviously, and do some things to secure. But Aaron, I'm telling you, there's so much I would love to do.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana would never have to worry about anything ever again.
Quick story, real quick, that was a spontaneous moment that you have moments in your life where you know God exists. This happened to me. Met a child through Operation Santa Claus that was in horrible conditions. A five-year-old, never been outside, never played on a playground, never been to a school, had broken arms, broken limbs from being abused. He's at the hospital. His grandmother's about to take him home, had nothing in the house. No food, nothing. It's coming up on Thanksgiving. I said, I got you. I'll take care of it. And I told her when we were going to meet to go shopping. I start calling my friends, my coworkers. I said, give me whatever cash you have. I'm going to go shopping with this lady. We go to the store, and she's bringing home a five-year-old kid. She needed snacks and, you know, some milk and stuff like that. So I told her we had two buggies. I said, get what you need. Mike, we roll up to the cash register. We'd gone to the Walmart. We roll up to the cash register. They start ringing things up, and my brain is thinking, I'm just going to have to charge whatever this goes over, you know, whatever the cash is that goes over. It rang up $367 total for everything she bought. I start counting out the cash that everybody had given me and donated. I had $365. How's that not a God moment when you know?
Yes.
Wow. And I thought from that moment on, I thought, if you ever, you know, have any doubts about God, you just have to think. And so there are moments like that when you think, you know, when you help people, I'm just going to do it. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. There's a lot of people in this town that do that, though. I mean, there's tons of people that called me and said, what else do they need? What else can I do? They bought him clothes. They did the whole, I mean, God's good, man. God's really good. And he's always been good to me.
God's good all the time.
Yes,
whether
absolutely.
Whether it's going well for us or not, God's still good.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio answering your questions. Be sure to download the free Keel app. That's how you submit your question through the Shreveport Security Systems message board. And get us your question now. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com. What a 1017 FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and it's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor Hour, where we open up the Shreveport Security Systems message board, and Mayor Tom Arsenault graciously answers your questions. Mayor, yesterday we got kind of a, I don't know if I say shocking, that might be a little strong word, but a very surprising announcement. Caddo Parish Commission President Stormy Gage Watts announced she's running for mayor. Was this a surprise to you?
It was a bit of a surprise to me.
You and she probably work together. The commission works with.
I consider that I have a good relationship with Commissioner Gage Watts.
I saw the letter she sent you while you were ill. You know, wishing you well and all that. Did she give you a heads up? Hey, I'm running for mayor.
No,
obviously
no
not. Yeah.
What sets you apart from her?
I think when you look at the leadership I've already provided and the accomplishments that we've made, you know, interestingly, I was preparing for my own announcement and I thought, well, gee, I wonder how I've done on the things that I said I was going to do. So I took up one of my campaign brochures and I listed the things that I said, and then I asked ChatGPT. I did. I asked you too, how's Tom Arsenault doing on these? And I got a lovely memo, and very satisfying to know that, you know, the things that I said I was going to do, we have done, or we have made substantial progress in. And in addition to that, we passed the largest bond issue in the history of the city of Shreveport by the largest margin in the history of the city of Shreveport. And that will result in $256 million worth of capital projects in the city. We've already started on those. So I think that I've provided leadership as well as competent management of the city. And I think when people look at what we have actually accomplished and the things that we said we were going to do and the things that we've done on that, as well as other things, that they'll realize that we have been a mayor for all of the city of Shreveport. I have certainly been accessible. I can't think of a mayor in recent memory who has been as accessible as I am. I am out in the community every day. I do things like this to make sure that people have access to their mayor. I believe that people should be able to touch and talk to their mayor, and I'm out there trying to make sure that that happens. So I am confident that when the people of Shreveport have an opportunity to see what we have accomplished, what we said we would do, what we've done, I keep my promises. And
how do you plan to? You know, there are some disgruntled on the far right. How do you plan to try to mend those fences with those who are saying, "Oh, we're going to put in a Republican, a strong Republican can"? How do you mend those fences?
Ultra conservative.
Yes. How do you? Can you?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little perplexed about that. I'd love for someone to explain to me what particular stance that I have taken that they believe is not conservative. We run a very fiscally conservative administration. We pay careful attention to our budget. Most of the social issues are not local issues. I think I compare very well there. So I suspect that some of that is a matter of tone, because I am not as confrontational as some people would like. But My job, I got elected to do a job. I got elected to lead a city. I got elected to get things done. And to do that, hitting people in the face with 2x4s does not generally result in their cooperation. And so I work carefully with the folks that remember that at least 60% of the people in Shreveport are Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And if you got up there and yelled at James Green and Tabitha Taylor every day, nothing, they would do nothing to help you.
And that's been some of the criticism while he kowtows to the, to the city council.
Sure.
And my response to that, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but like you just said, you can't bang them over the head and say, this is what we're going to do.
You know,
you have to work with people. And that's what I know you try to do.
My chief of staff has a great saying. She says, you know, I can't fight you and feed you. Mm-hmm. And so being the mayor, I have a great deal of authority. It was a strong mayor system, and I exercise that authority. But in addition to that, for things like appropriations and budgets and those kinds of things, I have to have 4 votes to sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 5 Democratic council members and 2 Republicans. And frankly, most of the issues that come before a city government are things like picking up your garbage and providing police protection. Those are not Republican or Democrat issues.
Clean water.
And so that's the things that I try and pay attention to, and I think I've done a really good job at that.
What are the rules? You might have to put your lawyer hat on. What are the rules for running for mayor? I know it's the day of qualifying. You have to have a residence or a domicile in the city limits of Shreveport. Explain what the rule is. Do you have to live in the city? Do you have to own a home in the city? What are the rules?
I believe, and I'm not looking at the charter as I answer this question, but I believe that the term is residence, and people may have more than one residence. They can only have one domicile.
Does it have anything to do with which one you take a homestead exemption at?
Well, that's a factor.
Okay.
You know, but actually living at a place is important. And so I think that's one of the things that people ought to look at. I moved back to Shreveport in August of 1979, and I have lived in the city of Shreveport ever since then. And I still live in the city of Shreveport. I don't have a rent house or something that I could claim.
You're not sleeping in a coffin.
A residence, and I'll let that one sit. So I think that's something people ought to look at is how long has somebody actually been a taxpaying citizen of the city of Shreveport?
Right.
Okay, we got to take a break. We want to talk about downtown, the latest from 50 Cent, your questions on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
Talk about food trucks. We got a lot on the slate this morning.
We sure do.
And so if you want to get your questions in, do it through the Keel app on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. We'll try to get it to the mayor. Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor Hour. This hour, he answers your questions. If you want to submit them, do so now. Get them in. We were talking a little bit earlier, Mayor, about food trucks. Talk a little bit about food trucks, because apparently there are a large percentage of food trucks operating illegally because they're not paying sales tax.
Well,
or even permission to be parked at particular locations.
Well, if I am located on somebody else's property and they are not taking steps to remove me from their property or ask me to leave, then
that's implied consent.
Well, I'm not going to practice law because I really like being the client instead of a lawyer. But I think that, there is some culpability there on the part of the person who is permitting that to occur. on their property. But the thing to remember is we talk about food trucks, but the ordinance actually applies to itinerant vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And food trucks are in that category, and we tend to think of it about food trucks. But, for example, at some of the places downtown where the people will set up a barbecue pit.
With a tent, yeah.
With a tent, mm-hmm. and that is covered by that ordinance. So they're required to have health department permits and other kinds of permits in addition to registering and paying collecting and then paying sales tax. Remember that sales tax is a tax on the consumer that is collected by the merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the merchant is supposed to hold that money and then transmit it, I think, by the 20th of the following month with a sales tax return. And itinerant vendors of food or anything else are required. They're not exempt from sales tax.
I heard the number mentioned during the meeting, public safety meeting this week, by, I believe, the chief, by your CAO and someone else in that meeting that said it's probably the number of food trucks that are not paying sales tax is probably 90%.
Oh, my gosh. I thought 60.
Could very well be, particularly if you consider all itinerant vendors,
mm-hmm.
The people out on the street who were selling things.
So how do you enforce it? Do you have to go out and
the enforcement of that is up to the Sales and Use Tax Commission.
Okay,
because they're the ones that actually collect the tax.
Mm-hmm.
So if the guy's got the push cart and he's selling hot dogs on the corner, does he have to have his license posted? Does it have to be visible?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think there's anything to post with respect to a sales tax registration. But yeah, you have, it's not just local sales tax, there's a state sales tax too. So
and a health certificate.
Mm-hmm.
The health certificate is particularly important because if you're a compliant food truck, there are a lot of things that you have to do in terms of your preparation and that kind of thing. A lot of food trucks are really warming trucks. They're not cooking the food there.
Right.
They have cooked it at a remote location, and they load it onto the food truck and sell it from the food truck. So it is somewhat complicated.
Does that fall under a different category then, if they're not actually preparing the food?
No, but their health permit has to do with where the food is prepared and then where the food is stored.
Yeah. Are they allowed in the Red River? You own the Red River District. We own the Red River District. Are they allowed to pull a food truck up in the Red River District and sell food? They have to have your permission,
they
right?
They have to have our permission.
And you don't grant that, am I right?
Well, I don't know that we don't grant it. We do not have a blanket grant.
Okay. I know the chief said he towed one away the other day.
Correct.
Because they told him to stop selling and they wouldn't, so they towed their trailer away.
And apparently, based on the chief's testimony the other day, it is you have to remain mobile. And mm-hmm. what that means is if you're a trailer as opposed to a truck, you got to stay hitched.
You can't just drop the trailer.
And that's apparently what occurred with this particular instance, is that the truck or vehicle that was towing the trailer wasn't there.
Okay.
So they ended up, I think, towing the trailer off.
Wow. Well, we'll talk more about that. We want to talk more about the Red River District and downtown policing and what's going on there as well. And we got to get to 50 Cent, too.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Ask the Mayor. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the Mayor. Taking a quick break. We'll be back with the mayor and your questions right after this break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the mayor, Micah McCarty, answering your questions.
Got to talk about the downtown, and we had the Halloween night episode. Then you had the beefed up patrols this past weekend. You don't know when you're going to have problems like that. And you can't sustain sending the whole kit and caboodle down there every weekend.
Well, that's true. We do have people that follow social media and follow events, and we do pay attention to that. There are certain times when we can anticipate a crowd. For example, Saturday night, we anticipated a larger crowd than usual because there was a rap concert at Municipal Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we can expect that there will be after parties and things like that. So we can kind of anticipate those. We can't always anticipate the other. I will say this, for Halloween, we did anticipate. We didn't anticipate the precise location where these people were, but we actually had beefed up security for Halloween because I had asked the chief for a specific plan because I was concerned about people just being out mm-hmm. late on Halloween night and knowing that downtown kind of has a reputation of being open all night long.
But why was the command center in the garage for Halloween night?
The command center is... The command center doesn't really operate anything. It is simply a visible thing. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, that requires a CDL. And so I think we only have two drivers.
Oh, okay.
As with everything in government, it's usually a little bit more complicated than what it appears from the outside.
Okay. Right.
So now it'll be down there, and I think that that's a helpful sign that we're paying attention to you.
Okay.
The additional cameras with lights on them will be an additional sign we're watching you, and so we will ultimately come up with a plan that is a reasonable, bearable cost that will address these issues, and I think we'll be successful. And then we need to look at other issues as well. But I think we need to make sure that we are providing adequate security for downtown. Now, does that mean we're going to anticipate every street fight that happens? And let's face it, that's what really happened on Halloween. It was a street fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the size. There were more people down there last Saturday night by far than there were out
on Halloween night.
Yes.
Right.
So it
yeah,
you
Chris
know,
Borland I, showed us the overhead shot, and there was only like 15, or I mean 20 or 25 people.
Correct. Correct.
It looked
that
much larger on the
fight.
ground view.
Well, because if you're right at the edge of the forest,
sure,
you're gonna see a whole lot of trees.
Sure.
But if you back up and take a look, it might just be a stand of trees and not a forest at all.
You mm-hmm. were mentioning looking at other avenues for security. There's been discussion of the National Guard coming. We know New Orleans utilizes the Louisiana State Police to augment their patrol. Is any of this still in discussion?
We did use the state police to mm-hmm. augment patrol
on Halloween night. That's what I understand.
And also this past weekend. So we have good relationships. I wish we were omniscient, and I wish that we were perfect in our predictions, but we're not. And we're probably never going to be. There are going to be instances where some things occur. We need to have people in a position to respond to those quickly. We did respond quickly. We used the RTCC to respond quickly. I think the police did a very good job with what they have. It would have been helpful if we'd had a police car right at that corner.
Mm-hmm. But what about the National Guard? You'd been talking with them. We were talking about using them for blight. Where are we on those talks?
We have had some further further discussions. They have sent some logistical people up here to look. They were kind of a little bit on hold because they're affected by
the government shutdown. Right.
And so that was one of the things that, you know, is when would they be able to be here? When would they take place? What kinds of things can they do? And all of those are good, but I'm not sure we would have had a National Guardsman at the corner on October 31st,
right.
or early in the morning of November 1st, and that's something that people have to have to remember.
You mentioned those additional cameras, and you said specifically with lights,
right?
And that flashing blue light. There's a technical advantage,
correct,
to that. There's a psychological, you know.
Correct. Well, and I think our response in the, you know, we've arrested six people in connection with that fight over the Halloween evening and early morning hours of November 1st. And I think that the fact that people will begin to realize, hey, you really are on camera down there, and they will figure out who you are, and they will come get you. I think those are important
things. Gears to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I understand he's been in town this week or has popped in or so. A couple of months ago, the governor, even told us a state package for him was imminent. Well, now we're a couple of months down the road. What's happened to that? Where are we on giving him some help and putting a package together for him?
I believe they are the state is in the final stages of that, and certainly I would hope we would have within the next couple of weeks an announcement, but I certainly hope we'll have an announcement by the end of the year.
Okay, he's asking for $50 million. Is that in the ballpark of what we're hearing? Is that accurate?
Somewhere in that category.
Okay, yeah. And that would be used for what?
I haven't seen the document, so I don't know.
Is that for Millennium Studios, not StageWorks?
As I understand it, it is a total package that includes those things and other things.
We heard part of the problem at Millennium Studios was flooding. Has that been worked on? Or they?
We're working on a remediation plan for that. Obviously, you can't film if you're underwater.
But what were they doing when Millennium Studios was filming there?
We had not experienced the problem with Millennium. We had actually done some things to address them. And Millennium sits in a bowl, and we had done some things to address it, and then.
What changed?
6 inches of rain in a really, really short time.
But Mayor, that lease with him's been—it's a year plus. Is it 2 years old now?
Sure.
What's the holdup on getting that fixed?
The holdup right now is both the drainage issue and the state package, because those are now, that wasn't an issue. There wasn't a state package when we did the original lease. And I'll remind you that he has been paying all of the expenses, which is about $15,000 a month. Wow. So he has saved us a double ton of money.
Now, that new apartment complex that has been built next to Millennium, did that contribute at all? Did they experience flooding? Did that might cause some of their flooding?
I do not believe that it caused any flooding. The flooding comes from the flooding comes from the other side of the of Millennium. So Shreveport sits kind of kittywampus. But I would say it comes from either the north or the east side of the, depending on your perspective, of Millennium.
Is he going to support you in the mayor's race? Do you have his assurance yet? He was at your birthday party.
That's something that we haven't discussed.
Will you say, hey, I'd like you to endorse me?
I like most everybody to endorse me.
Okay, we got to talk more about this deal when we get back. We got a lot more with the mayor before we wrap up the hour.
It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the mayor. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the Mayor. Just got a couple of minutes left.
Well, let's ask about one more thing about 50 Cent. The Humor and Harmony Festival planned for March. Is that still on as far as you know?
I don't know. We haven't made much progress if it is.
Okay. You presented your budget. The council's got to approve it. I'm not sure the December 1. I don't know what the date
December 15th,
is. December 15th.
Their target meeting is the 9th.
Okay. What are some tidbits in it? Am I going to have to pay a higher water bill? What are some increases that I'm going to see?
We're not proposing any increased fees or taxes for this budget. It basically is a continuation budget of the services that we are already providing. There are some very minor changes, but it basically is a standstill budget because we have standstill revenues.
Sales tax revenues are
We're forecasting a 2% increase and feel pretty comfortable with that. We forecasted flat this year, and we've had a little bit better than flat.
Government shutdown is about over. Sorry, Mike. What are there some things that the flow of dollars to Shreveport have been cut off and now it'll open back up? What's happening with that?
I'm not aware of any specific things that were cut off. When 40 days is a very long time for a government shutdown, but in the scheme of things, 40 days is not a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we'll feel any lasting impacts.
Okay.
Grayson Butcher proposed a water bill fee. It was voluntary, though, was the difference. But there are still people complaining about Shreveport water. The people out in Ellerbe say they have about 40% pressure. Where are we on getting our water system, boom, an A rating, good to go?
Well, first, we're not going to have... because of what we have to do to get the A rating, and those things are already in place. Mm-hmm. We already have them, but they will not take place, and we will not get credit for them until they're actually completed. The biggest thing is the three water towers. We're working on the second one now, mm-hmm. and we cannot work on the third one until next year.
Mm-hmm. Until the second one, right.
Because
you can't take them all down at the same time.
We can't take them down at the same time sure. without affecting a lot more people's water pressure. I think...
Is that the cause of the pressure?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. We have some issues that we're trying to investigate out there in some selected areas in Southeast Shreveport. Those are at the end. They're at the end of our line, and we're stretched. Unfortunately, you can't create infrastructure overnight, and we're addressing those issues. I will say the number of complaints has decreased dramatically.
Brandon Sneed is acting
interim. Mm-hmm.
Interim. We had a water main break in my neighborhood on my street. I looked out my front window and there's water pouring down the street. I contacted Brandon. Tom, I mean, like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they
had a crew out there. They were fantastic.
They are very, very responsive and very, very good at what they do. Operationally, I am very pleased with our folks. We have a surface water system, which means that it is subject to whatever goes in the lake and what goes on in the lake.
Mm-hmm. We got a wrap. Tom, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Always
thank you,
pleasure.
Mayor. Matt Kay is going to join us after 8 o'clock, going to weigh in on the mayor's race and how he sees it shaping out.
1017 FM, 710 Keel. One oh one seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport Republican strategist. That sounds so impressive. Matt Kay joining us. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, and Miss Aaron, good morning to you. I'm so happy to hear you back on the radio after your little absence.
Well, thank you. And more gumbo from your wife would be helpful, too, just FYI. You was the news from Stormy Gage Watts a surprise to you like it was to us?
It was definitely a surprise to me. I it makes sense afterwards, but it was definitely a surprise in the moment. I did not anticipate that.
Hadn't you been hearing, like we had, that she was going to run for a city council seat rather than the mayoral run?
I think I'd heard potentially a state representative or city council or something of that nature. I had not heard her name floated for mayor. That's correct.
Matt, you're an insider, so there's been a lot of bantering about, like Sam Jenkins is considering it. Aaron spoke with him yesterday. He hasn't made an announcement, but he says he is thinking about it. Does this announcement from Stormy Gage Watch possibly change others? How do you think this is going to change the complexion of the mayor's race?
You know, I don't know that it changes too much. On paper, Stormy Gage Watts is, she's a Democrat candidate. I don't hear too many, looking at the comment sections on social media and such, I don't hear too much negativity about her, but she is a Democratic candidate with a Democrat platform. That's not a surprise that a Democrat would run against an incumbent Republican mayor, in my opinion.
Okay, we've heard the chatter. People have told me that there are some in the Republican wing of the party, the far right wing, that want to put a conservative Republican in the race. You're one of the insiders. Are you hearing that too?
I'm currently not hearing that. I hear the chatter goes back and forth. Tom is currently the incumbent Republican mayor. It's the numbers in Shreveport don't necessarily support electing a Republican. So it's hard to, whenever you think about putting another Republican in the race, it's hard to couple that with splitting the vote and potentially, you know, 2018, we saw two Republicans run for mayor. Both of them missed the runoff, and we had two Democrats in the runoff. The strategy has to be exactly right for a Republican to get elected mayor of Shreveport.
Would you discourage them from running another Republican?
You know, I haven't thought about it as much lately as I probably should have. I've gone back and forth on that one myself, but it's such a tough race that I don't know that putting another Republican in the race is. Maybe part of that is I haven't heard a name. Nobody's given me a name of somebody who could go run for mayor and, you know, get elected like Tom Arsenault got elected 4 years ago. That's part of it. But, you know, Tom Arsenault, he's Republican mayor of a, you know, by voting pattern, or Democrat city. Mm-hmm. To get elected to that, you know, Tom has had to make decisions that I've disagreed with myself as a conservative Republican, but I can also say that President Trump has made decisions that I've disagreed with as a Republican.
Well, sure.
You know, person. I don't agree with anybody 100%. So mm-hmm. I don't currently hear that appetite to find a Republican. Whenever we've had other things, maybe I've heard that appetite previously, but I'm not currently hearing that.
Well, if you were asked, Matt Kay, to grade Mayor Arsenault on his first term, how would you grade his first term?
Ooh, so let me preface that with, I'm sounding like a politician. I'm not a politician, but I work in the field. Let me preface that with, you know, Arsenault was dealt a bad hand to start with. I mean, whenever you're coming up on the heels of Mayor Tyler, Mayor Perkins, I believe during COVID at one point, our homicide rate was over 90, pushing 100. You know, our crime was through the roof. This water situation, while people put it at the feet of Tom Arsenault, he inherited the water situation. It's been his responsibility since 2023. It hasn't been his responsibility since 1963. Mm-hmm. The water didn't start overnight. It's been his job to manage it since then. So, you know, while there are people who disagree with, you know, some of the things that he's done, he inherited a bad hand. You know, we've been a little bit on the decline as far as roads, water, and crime. And it's hard to lay crime at the feet of the mayor because, you know, whenever a crime occurs, the police department shows up after the crime occurs. And we are officers short. We do need a better police presence, but I wouldn't necessarily blame crime at the police on any police officer, especially at the hands of the mayor, the police chief, because again, their job is to show up after the crime's been committed.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the call after the crime's been committed. There are other issues that calls for that crime to be committed, revolving door policies, and so on and so forth.
Sounds like you're not giving him an A, but
I'm
maybe
not giving him an A, but I'm not giving him an F either.
Maybe a B or a C plus.
That's definitely a passing grade. I'll give him a C. I'll give him a C or B.
Okay.
Really? See, okay.
All right.
That's surprising. I would think a higher personally. I appreciate his transparency. And he's, as you said, he came in at a pretty sizable disadvantage. He's you know, pushing that proverbial boulder up a hill his entire administration.
Well, it also in my opinion, I don't think an A can be achieved until you reach that second term. He has several factors working against him too. I mean, we've got a 5-2 city council, five Democrats, two Republicans. Mm-hmm. That there are things that he can't do, and I understand that. I mean, he's probably doing the best job he can with the hand he's been dealt.
Okay, can you stay with us? Because I know you may need to research it in the 1.5 minutes you're going to have to do it. Rules on residency and when you have to live in the city to become mayor. You know those rules probably right off the top.
I know those rules.
I want to talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Republican strategist Matt Kay, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Republican strategist Matt Kay on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with Mike and McCarty. Matt, yesterday, Stormy Gage Watts announced her candidacy for Shreveport mayor, and Aaron spoke with a couple of others, some former candidates, a possible candidate. And Greg Retarver said he posited the fact that she doesn't live in the city limits. Now, do you have to have established a residence for a certain amount of time? Can you rent an apartment? What are the rules to be a resident and be candidate for mayor?
So the residency requirements for, I believe, Shreveport mayor and Shreveport city council are some of the loosest residency requirements I've seen. But that's because Shreveport was established before the Loraison Act in Louisiana, so we're governed by our city charter for that. And our city charter basically says that you have to live in the city at the time of qualifying, or for city council, you have to live in your district at the time of qualifying to be eligible to run. So, for example, Speaker Mike Johnson does not live in the city limits of Shreveport currently. He could move into the city limits to Shreveport the day before he qualifies, establish his residency, and the very next day run for mayor of Shreveport.
Okay, what do we mean by live? Does it have to be his domicile? Does it have to be a home he owns? I mean, we've talked. Greg Tarver readily admits he lives in Squirrel Point, which is not in the city of Shreveport, but he also has a property on South Lakeshore that he owns. Yes.
So Shreveport is a residency city, not a domicile city. And there are more hurdles to jump through for it to be a domicile than for it to be a residency. For example, domicile, I believe you have to be registered to vote where you live. You have to have your homestead exemption there. Residency is mostly where you lay your head on a pillow at night. It's a whole lot easier to achieve the residency status than it is the domiciliary status. We had a question 4 years ago of then Mayor Perkins. He was not registered to vote at his house. He was registered to vote at his mom's old house, which is a different precinct, both precincts inside the city limits. So you do have to be registered to vote where you claim to live. But, past that, there's no homestead exemption requirements or anything like that. There's no 6 months. You have to live there 6 months before or anything. It's, mm-hmm. it's literally day of.
So if you don't live in the city limits currently, you're running for mayor, you could rent an apartment and claim that you sleep there once a week, and that would do it?
That is 100% correct. And, Aaron, the burden of proof is also on the person who challenges their candidacy. So if I go, I do live in the city of Shreveport, but if I did not live in the city of Shreveport, the burden of proof is on the person who challenges my candidacy. And, you have to go get proof that I don't live where I say that I live. And you have about a week after that qualifying period to file a lawsuit, and then the lawsuit's heard within 3 days. It's really hard to not live where you say you live in that, you know, 2 week time frame. And, you know, I would assume people would have to hire private investigators, and they would actually have to not be actually be living for those 2 weeks where they say they live.
Okay. So you'd have to follow the, you'd have to follow them around and see where are they sleeping at night.
Correct. It's a very difficult process.
And, but an apartment, you don't have to actually have to buy a home. You just have to have a place where you could sleep.
That is my understanding of how residency works for any office in the city limits. Yeah.
Can it
so
be,
you could
can,
sleep in a coffin in a business.
Sleep in a
can it be your business? Could your address be your business?
I think it has to be someplace that is probably zoned residential. I think we had heard, I think y'all had a good Halloween song a few years ago about somebody who might have lived in their business at their coffin. So I'm not 100% sure on that part.
Okay.
But that's my understanding, is that it would probably have to be at a residential place unless there was some sort of established history of you actually living at
that. That's interesting. They could just rent an apartment
and
say, here's my electric bill with my name on it at this apartment.
And maybe sleep there once a week or something. That might be considered that you live there.
Yeah, it's similar to, I guess, Welcome to Moose Town or whatever. You could literally have... the old Ray Romano movie. You could literally have the President of the United States move into Shreveport the day before qualifying, not even be a Louisiana resident, and qualify to run for office the next day, as long as he can prove that, you know, as long as he can get registered to vote and prove that he lives here within 24 hours.
But it does hurt you in the grand scheme of things to know that you haven't been paying city property taxes for the entire time that maybe you didn't live in the city.
Right. It could be said you're not really invested in this community.
You know, you could say that, but I'm sure that there are other issues that you could lay at the feet of that candidate that would probably be more salacious.
There'll
be people that get irritated by that.
Yes. Yeah,
Sanders, is that what you're saying?
Bernie Sanders, you're reading my mind.
Yeah. How many candidates do you expect to be in the mayor's race? I mean, Sam Jenkins told me yesterday he's still considering it. He and Stormy Gage Watts have not spoken. Greg Tarver even told me yesterday he's considering it.
So let me clarify a previous statement I made about the grade I had given Mayor Arsenault. I believe I was on your show, feels like maybe 6 months ago, talking about speed cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I can point to that I disagreed with Mayor Arsenault. You went down to Baton Rouge and testified on behalf of having speed cameras in Shreveport. Whenever I look at Stormy Gage Watts was a part of a coalition that tried to bring speed cameras to the parish. So, you know, the things that I'm irritated or I have disagreed with Mayor Arsenault, I've especially disagreed with Stormy Gage Watts. Her and I do not align politically at all. Tom and I agree politically way more than me and Stormy Gage Watts do. But to get back to your question about
but
how many?
Let me tell you this real quick. On those issues, Mayor Tom realized, okay, that wasn't a great idea, and backed off of it.
He didn't back off the camera thing.
Well, he did on the water bill fee. The water bill he did. The camera state law changed, and they couldn't expand the cameras. In fact, they had to be more restrictive on the speed cameras inside the city, inside the school zones. I would think maybe five or six people, maybe up to upwards of 10 to qualify. But as far as legitimate candidates, I mean, you always have your ballot placeholders that go qualify and get 1 or 2% of the vote and don't run a real campaign. We had, I think, 10 or 12 people run for mayor 4 years ago, but there were only 3 or 4 or 5, you know, top tier,
right,
A or B tier candidates. So,
one more question before we let you go. We're in a rush. The mayor's got, we're at the starting gate. We're going to run the 50-yard dash. He's ahead by 20 yards already because, A, he's an incumbent, and he's probably got a pretty good war chest. How does she catch up?
So, you know, I'm a fan of the grassroots campaign. And this isn't about just Stormy Gage Watts. This is about anybody. I don't think that people get elected necessarily based upon the money in their account, but how their message resonates with people and how people feel in that moment. So, for example, you know, let's look at let's look at former President Biden or, you know, one of our former presidents. There was no amount of money that could make, you know, people like me want to vote for President Biden for re-election, for example. So a lot of this is, you know, how to run a campaign is, you know, is one thing, but your message has to resonate with the people, and you have to get out there and shake people's hands, and they have to buy into what you're selling. because it's our city, it's our home. So, you know, you could have somebody who is disadvantaged money-wise, but makes up for it in sweat equity, and, you know, they have a legitimate shot.
Mm-hmm. Matt Kay, Shreveport. Well, actually, you're the chairman of the Republican Parish Party. Or Parish
Kettle.
Yes. Well, thank you for jumping on with us, Matt. We appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thank you all for having me.
And thanks. We will talk with you again soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
See, dadgummit, I had a question I was going to ask you, and I was in the process of writing it down, then got distracted.
Yep.
Somebody came in, so now I don't have it.
You'll be at the library on Fern today.
Going to be at the library on Fern during lunch hour today. I'm very excited.
Oh, cool.
But we're also doing a huge food drive for the Food Bank of Northwest Louisiana.
Yep, drop by and drop off a food item or cash, whatever you can do to help.
Absolutely. Come by. I'll be there from noon to 1, but you can go by at any time and make a donation.
Absolutely.
Doesn't necessarily have to be while we're there.
Yes, definitely.
So looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. I want to hash out this food truck thing when we get back a minute.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We talked to Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault last hour. Lynch's Lawn and Fence asked the mayor. One of the discussion points was food trucks around Shreveport-Bossier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of surprised, but then when you think about it, I'm not really. That he said possibly up to 90% of these operate without paying taxes.
That to me is mind-boggling.
It is.
That they know they have to pay. Surely they know. I mean, there could be
some.
They do
know, and don't call me Shirley.
I just think they've got to realize that but a lot of them take cash only. And you pay them cash, and they, even if they did pay taxes, would they be reporting it all?
Right.
You know what I mean? Would they say right. Have to say? But imagine if you're a restaurant, and one block away or in a parking lot next to you, a food truck sets up operation, and there's a crowd gathering, and they could come in and dine at your restaurant, or they could go to the food truck and get a hamburger or tacos or whatever it is. And you're paying your taxes. You've got all those employees. You've got overhead. You know, you've got rent and electricity and all. And they're not paying any of the stuff that you pay. I would be torqued. And the chief of police got up and stood before the public safety committee meeting. And he said they went and checked some of the food trucks that were downtown during their operation over the weekend. And three of them didn't have the proper licenses. I mean, you have to have a health department certificate. And you got to have a permit from the city. And he said they didn't have them. And so they told him they had to stop selling. One of them refused to stop selling. And so they promptly towed the trailer away.
Not only did they refuse to stop selling, but the mayor said they have to be mobile.
Right.
They disconnected the truck. It was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So now it was no longer mobile food
right.
truck. They hauled them off.
They hauled off their trailer.
They hooked it up and hauled it off.
But it's going farther than that, Mike, because we know there's lots of places around town where groups, and some of them are charity groups, will set up a tent and a barbecue grill and do turkey legs or do steaks or whatever. Ursula Bowman said there's a place on Pines and 70th, the old Circle K, where they set up there every day selling food. And they have no permit. She doesn't think they even have permission from the Circle K, whoever owns it, to be in the parking
right.
lot. And they don't have any certificates. They couldn't show any certificates. But who goes and runs them off? Is that the job for police to go run off?
You wouldn't think a standard police beat, you know, on the street officer would go up and go, you guys need to move on.
Right.
Unless they got a complaint from the owners of the property.
Right. And the property owner would have to say, hey, but then it's a civil matter. You've got to file a complaint again. I don't know. But it's one of those things. You have to have permission from the property owner. And police, the chief did admit, he said, our officers do need to know more about what's required of these food trucks, mm-hmm. what kind of certificate they have to show, what kind of sticker they have to have on their vehicle, because they do need to know, hey, if you can't produce A, B, and C, you're gone. You got to move along. But we all want food trucks. We all love food trucks. You know, I love popping in on them when I see they go down to Willis Knight and Piermont a lot. They pop in there and serve food to the staff. A lot of different places. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure for places like that, Willis Knight says, hey, you got to have all your ducks in a row.
So, like at Great Raft, sometimes they'll have food like one or two food trucks out in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have permission with Great Raft.
Sure.
I say obviously, you would think.
Sure.
Because it's usually
it's on
with
their property.
It's on their property. It's usually in coordination with some event.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm wondering, okay, do they have health certificates? Do they have their licensing? Are they paying taxes?
Mm-hmm. Are they completely permitted? The city is going to crack down. I'm working with Tom Dark, the CAO, to find out which of them are paying sales taxes, which of them are not paying sales taxes. And can you go and get back taxes? Hey, you've been open, you know, for a year.
Because I've seen, I don't know if you're on Instagram much.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the videos out of India, those people that are street vendors and they're preparing foods and there's thousands of flies and mice running across them. They're knocking them off. And it's
can
like,
can you not talk about that at breakfast time?
I don't think we're dealing with that quite, but
I hope
still.
Not. Yeah. Yikes.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I've got a question, and I didn't think about that until now. In fact, we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that reminded me. I used to be a welder, by the way.
Okay.
I was what's called heliarc welder.
All right.
We took, there's high-pressure metal hoses, and we would put a braid around them, a collar on it, and a fitting, and weld the fitting to the hose. And
okay.
It's pretty,
manly stuff, yeah.
Yeah, tedious work. But at the shop, every morning, a truck would come by selling sandwiches and Cokes and mm-hmm. chips and... Now, it wasn't like a food truck, if you will.
Right.
Where there was an oven inside or anything like that. It was just, he opened up the sides.
I remember those.
And it was
silver,
probably refrigerated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was, we called it the Roach Coach. Roach Coach is here. And
those
we'd all
were
go
big
and,
back, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
Oh,
do they time. Still have those? Hmm. Would those be classified as a food truck?
Of course they would. Yep. They're selling food. They're selling food. They need a health inspection. They need a health department permit. They would need a city permit. And they'd need to pay taxes.
So somebody, if you're working at a shop or something or in some industrial complex, do the Roach Coaches still make the rounds? Are they still around? I'm sure they probably are.
Oh, absolutely. But it's more so the food trucks these days. And I know my neighborhood has a food truck come in. I think it's once a month. A lot of neighborhoods, Providence brings mm-hmm. in food trucks. But it's going to be.
But that's a different situation when you have an organized event and mm-hmm. you set up food trucks as opposed to an operator parking on a downtown street and just opening the doors
and selling
tacos.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, even if it's an organized event, are they paying taxes?
Right.
Are they paying the sales taxes that they're supposed to be paying to the city and to the state? Because it's an unfair advantage for them compared to brick and mortar restaurants if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant business as we know today is tough.
Right.
I mean, the prices are up.
It.
People
yes.
are not eating out as much because of the prices. I mean, it's become a big deal for them. And so they want the food trucks to be policed as well. But do we want our police shutting down food trucks? Or shutting down criminal activity in our neighbor. I mean, that's the thing. You got to weigh
right,
it. What's more important to do? And who else is going to go out and do it if it's not your police force? I don't know, but I know I've requested the food. I've sent a list of food trucks I know about. I've requested the city's list of food trucks, which ones are permitted, which ones are not, and which ones are paying sales taxes and which ones are not.
If you missed our Ask the Mayor segment, you can hear that tomorrow morning. We'll replay that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed Mayor Tom Arsenault and his questions and answers, you'll be able to catch up on that.
Absolutely.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.